Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, New Year's resolution, State of the Union. That's what we got. I think you're going to like the New Year's resolution. I think you'll find it insightful and maybe inspiring. And, of course, our State of the Union now, the 10th one. I guess it's the 10th one coming into our 11th year. First8sleep.com. Every podcast has mattress ads. Yeah, there's thousands of them, but one, only one, uses technology of temperature to give you the deepest sleep. Oh, this is such a great device. I don't even call it a mattress. It's a device. It's so awesome. The pod by 8sleep, first bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking. Research shows a link between sleep and performance and the temperature of your sleep and the quality of your sleep, of course. My God, I can remember all those days growing up in the San Fernando Valley, just sweating through the sheets, no air, no pod by 8sleep. The pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. The stats say it all. Pod customers fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less, and have a 17% increase in deep sleep. They talk about how important hygiene, sleep hygiene is now. And now you get $150 off and free shipping at 8sleep.com/Adam. That's 8sleep.com/Adam. E-I-G-H-T sleep.com/Adam.
Back inside the toolbox with jams aplenty in 2020. We're the station that has you screaming amen in the AM. And why not? Another decade in the dirt, just like dust down a country road. Lots of miles beneath the wheels and many more to go. May we travel far together, my friends. From the top of the dial to the top of the charts. Cashing checks and breaking hearts. This is the Toolbox. If you're looking for a New Year's resolution, why not become an organ donor this year? Has become more important to me considering how I treated my body the past few weeks. And well, I might need your kidney in the next couple of years. So if you haven't yet, put that sticker on your ID and sign up as an organ donor today. Alan Clark is the organ donor on this Dire Straits track, playing a total of three of them, or at least one B3 and a couple of synths. So be like Alan Clark this year and become an organ donor. And what does any of that have to do with baseball? Not a goddamn thing. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dr. Drew. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, this year, he finally resolved to start saying what's on his mind. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get him in and get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. That's why we're heading to year 11 doing this job. So thank you in advance. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Happy New Year.
We do a little State of the Union and also New Year's resolutions. I have a few. Mm-hmm. I have one that I think would be interesting to you guys.
It just occurred to me, but we should track down our resolutions from last year. I mean, from the show. We did it on the show. You know, we talked about a couple, one or two.
Adam, flying colors with one of yours, horrible with the other one.
Yeah. Mm. Can't remember what the two of them were.
I think one of them was wearing a suit.
Oh, that was the year before.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Dress for success.
Dress for success.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I realized very quickly that I literally just came from a construction site where I was like framing and cutting OSB and running around and plugging in air compressors and firing off nailing guns and stuff. And I just could never dress nice before I come here because I'm always stopping somewhere and working on something nasty and dirty. So I just went, screw it. And I'm lazy. All right. That was a
reverse those.
That was a goof. That was a goof. All right. I have one. Now, you know, you got to find out. I made one. I signed one for Sonny. I can't remember if I talked about it with you guys or not. No. I have one for myself, which
I assigned one to.
Assigned a New Year's one to Sonny. I have one that I think you guys would find interesting because when I tell you what it is, you're going to go, huh? I thought you already did that, but I don't. And so I think you'll enjoy that. Maxipat, I forgot to tell the Porcelain Punisher, but I thought he should take a few minutes, comb through his emails, and figure out the amount of times I did stand up for free last year, because it has something to do with Sonny and the one that I signed him, which is I started getting Sonny into the pool about once a week. He agreed to get into the pool and do the length and touch the drain and freeze his butt off and challenge himself a little bit. Now, the reason for that is there's a physiological health benefit to it, but it's a mental thing. The kid's sitting around, he's eating Bugles and playing video games all day, and it's like, I got to get him out there.
Yeah.
He lives literally the way everyone in my house moves is they go up in the air like Peter Pan, and then they start swimming. They start swimming toward the kitchen. Yeah. They start swimming toward the Grubhub guy's here. Mm. Let me float over to the door. Because they are in a zero-gravity environment, and they are getting a little weak.
Speaking of Peter Pan, one of Tess's favorite – Tess is into movies. She loves Disney Plus. She'll watch it all the as often as we'll let her. And Peter Pan is one of her favorites. And you can tell a difference when she spends the day, the morning, doing things, playing at the park, you know, putting things together, which she loves doing, or – watching movies. There is a difference by the end of the day.
You get sullen by 5 o'clock with the kids.
Yes. Tell us the difference in
the
her
difference,
mood.
The difference is if she watches movies,
right,
crankier, yep, she has more energy at night, you know what I mean? Like she's more wound up. She's less willing to, you know, put on the PJs and do the bath and everything. By the end of the day, if we do the park, she's done. She's settled.
Right. So it's important to sort of throw stuff out in front of yourself and keep yourself engaged and occupied. This morning, I was at the Ace Hardware picking up all thread and a bunch of bolts. And then I ran down to Anawalt Lumber and bought a new framing gun. And then I ran by the job where I'm working and laid out some shear wall and blah, blah, blah. And then I ran over here, but I'm sort of engaged. So Sonny and the New Year's resolution. Oh, I'll just tell you. So I said to Sonny, here's your New Year's resolution, living in this zero-gravity environment, worried about you becoming soft and lazy and
how
what have you.
How often does the signing of the resolution work?
That's interesting. I was
I'm
happy.
Sure it works sometimes.
It's going to work. The reason it's going to work, I'll tell you the reason it's going to work. I assigned him the once a day. Once a week in the pool.
Right.
You pick the day, you're going in. We don't have to go in together. I also want to know rules on this one as well, which is I then said every time I do stand up for free in the new year, you're going out. Now you're going in the pool or you owe me a day.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be that day. If I do it twice or three times in 1 week, you owe me three times.
That's fair.
Oh.
You can do three times in a day if you want to spread it out over 8-hour clips. You know what I mean? Once you get out, once you get dry, once you get comfortable, once you get back into a heated room,
stasis,
and once you get back to homeostasis, then I'll just interrupt it again. You could really do it an hour apart. I'm flexible. We don't need to spread it out over 3 days.
You, yeah.
So he understands the rules. He understands the rules, and he knows what the game is now, and he gets it. And it's funny, because before the new year ended...
He starts calling him bomb threats to the ice house.
Right.
It's a pipe about Gabriel Iglesias.
Right before the new year, I said, oh, you're screwed because I'm going out Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And he's like, not the new year yet. We have to wait.
Smart little bastard.
So he's keeping track and he's fighting himself on it because he has dread.
Sure.
He has this dread that he doesn't want to do it, but he also knows it's good for him. And he's also kind of proud of himself. Do we have our famous give him a towel? I don't know why this never, 2017, never gets old to me. There's many components to this that I enjoy. I enjoy my son overcoming his fears and dunking himself in the cold pool. I enjoy Natalia filming him and laughing at him.
Yeah, with glee.
Do you like the Marge Simpson-esque grumbling right. off of camera?
I enjoy Lynette essentially having a panic attack over her son doing something that is good for him.
That her husband does every day.
Right. Now, he has no problemo with the video games, but the problemo with this, sure. which is, I would say, the script has been flipped, and we need... This is a micro and a macro situation. We're like, we need to show compassion for the homeless. Like, not by letting them lay down and lay in their own flop all fucking day and shoot up drugs. That compassion is getting them into the fucking pool. That's compassion.
Wash them off.
Okay. So, here, we'll just play it again. Sorry. And, there's a third or fourth component, which is me, dad, standing wet in my trunks. Handing my son a towel and being criticized for it, which is I found
not
interesting.
Not fast enough.
Well, if you dive into the pool with the towel,
it's really going to beat the problem.
You're going to
exacerbate
your own
the problem. Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
No! Oh my God! 52 degrees. Get him out! Give him his towel.
He's in the pool.
Put it over him. Put the towel. You guys, seriously.
He was still dog paddling back as the towel.
By the third
plead.
Give him a towel, he was still in the pool.
Also, young lads and young people in general, but young 11-year-old boys, 10-year-old boys, they are taffy. They can take anything.
He was smiling on the way in.
It doesn't matter. You can do anything you want with them.
Did we do a mashup with Rocky's trainer, with Apollo Creed's trainer? Give him the towel.
Oh, yeah.
Throw the damn towel.
We did it, but we can hear it again if we find it. Do we have it?
We have it.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. It's 52 degrees. Get him out. Give him his towel. Get his towel, Red.
Get him.
No. You guys. Seriously.
If Lynette was on the set of Rocky 3, they would have told her to bring it in just a little bit.
This,
I know you're going to the cheap seats, but this is theater.
I know your fighter's dying in the ring, being pummeled to death by a monster, but we need you to dial it back a bit.
So his New Year's is he owes me one dip for every time I go out and do comedy for free. I did not count the paying gigs.
He's down.
Mm-hmm. Is it on the table for Sonny that he would never do this, but he should, to get ahead of the game, do a few dunks, get four out,
bank
at the beginning
some.
Of the week. Bank some,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Any way he wants to slice it, I'm fine.
Okay.
One in for one appearance, as long as you can't double up.
By the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I imagine Natalia's dying to get in on this.
She might actually.
Natalia surprised me because she said her New Year's resolution was to not drink soda all year, which I was like, that's pretty good.
Impressive,
that's a solid one for a young kid.
13-year-old, whoever she is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. The reason we have to do this, I'm realizing, is there is a difference between the young kids coming up and the old farts hanging on. We have the stand. We have the freebie stand-up. This is just the freebies.
Do you guys want to guess before I get the number?
Are we counting last of all, Brian?
I did count.
Nice.
That.
I would do something like. I guess I would. It's tough because on weeks when I went out to Denver and did two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, I may have done one that week because I was counting that as four extra shows at the end of the week. But I did three or four of those.
And if you did multiple in one day, do you count that as two?
I never did multiple in one day.
I did it multiple
in one day in Denver and in Utah, but I'm not counting those because those are paid gigs. So I say what you do is you take an average. I'm going to take an average of two a week.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And I never really did. Three was my max. And again, a few of those weeks, I'm going to take like 1.7 a week and average it out over 52 weeks. I'm just going to go right at 100.
Oh, I was going to say 101, but I'll be a little more creative. Price is 110.
That seems, when you put it like that, it makes sense. It just seems so insanely high.
It does, considering where I live and where all the clubs are. It is wildly inconvenient.
Not that I don't believe you and not that we didn't witness it. It just 100 seems like a ton. I'll say 75.
And the winner is Gina.
Oh.
Correct number is 71.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I'm not such a badass.
Hey, you were going to do once a week. I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah.
Well, I stepped it up from once a week. Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's great.
All right. And then, so the reason we need to start crafting this in people is I had this A and B kind of apples to apples sort of comparison, which is one of the busier guys in the world is Chris Morgan and Fast and Furious and Hobbs versus Shaw. He's doing Bird Box.
Got a lot of things going on.
Got Bird Box 2 coming. Got Hobbs versus Shaw follow-up. Got Fast and Furious.
Terrific.
Busiest guy quietly behind the scenes. Super busy guy. A neighborhood guy. A guy we have our 3 martini lunches that last 4 hours. And I love we love talking to each other. So I said, hey, I'm in town for the holiday, and we should carve out a little time to get together. Said, okay.
Oh, Matt just texted, that's just a 2 martini lunch.
So, it starts off that way. There's always the third. There's that part on the third where the waitress comes by and goes, you guys want to, and you have to look at each other.
Do we?
Well, I do, but I want you to go first. Yeah. And then I'll just go, yeah, toss one on for me. So, but here's the interesting thing. So, I had a lunch, sit down. We literally hang out for 3.5 or 4 hours and just talk about life and projects and things like that. I've done this with him 5 times, maybe 8 times, and we usually set it up for 2 or 3 p.m. I show up at 3 and he's there every single time. Every single time he's there. And I feel a lot of pressure not to show up at 3:03 because I feel like he's sitting around. But either way, he beats me there every single time, and I show up at 3 and he's just there. And that's how it is. And I had a situation with a young 26-year-old person.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, they said, well, can we get together and talk about some business stuff? I want to do some business stuff with you or work for you or do whatever during the holiday. And I just said, well, I met with Chris at 3 o'clock at a place, at a diner kind of by my house. I met him on a Tuesday, I think, at 3. I said, just make me Wednesday at 3 at the same place. We'll just go right back to the same place and we'll do it the same time. Mm-hmm. I said, fine. So this person is 26, young, starting out, not a lot going on, I would say. Thus,
as most of us are 26.
Trying to meet with me and trying to get a job with
good
me. Chris Morgan wants nothing from me creatively or financially. He just wants to hang out and talk. He's got a million irons in the fire. This person, I showed up at 3. I got an email at 2:55 saying they're about 2025 out. Now, here's the deal. I used to have a lot more sympathy with this before Waze came into my life. Mm-hmm. Because as a guy who has to get from La Cañada to the Comedy Store on Monday nights or Saturday nights,
Trek,
I sit there and just punch it right into my phone and go, what are we talking about here?
And that's pretty precise, too. You got to be there, hit the stage at a certain time.
I do. 15
minutes every comic or whatever it is.
It's true. And also, I'm with the round trip being 40 minutes each way, I'm not really wanting to get there 40 minutes early and hang out in the green room. I sort of plan on getting there 5-10 minutes before I'm supposed to go out, and that's why I rely heavily on Waze, because I am driving down the Sunset Strip at 8 14, and I'm due on stage at 8:25, and then they're thinking I'm there. Mm-hmm. So I get real precise with it, but it's always like 41 minutes, 39 minutes. Right. It's always in this window, but I do it.
Pocket.
I do it with everywhere all the time. So no real excuse not to back time it either the day before or that morning at that day at noon or whatever it is. But also the email at 2:55. That can mean nothing to me because I've left already.
Yeah, you're already there.
It's a fait accompli.
I'm either sitting in the restaurant or I'm on my way to the restaurant.
You're parking.
It's going to be impossible to give me this news. Mm-hmm. And so the person was 20 minutes late.
Ugh.
And I thought...
He didn't see the Irishman.
I thought...
That's an insult.
I thought... Now, the super successful dude is waiting for me there every single time and doesn't want a job from me. You want a job from me, and you make me wait for 20 minutes. And I thought, that's what's wrong. That right then and there, both good people, nothing wrong. Our society doesn't judge either one of them. But that mentality, that you... I want, you're the super successful boss guy. I want a gig from you, and we're going to have this encounter, and you're going to wait for me.
Yeah, So Gina and I are pretty punctual. We're rarely late to the show. We're often early. I think I can speak for you, Gina, that this is one of those painful lessons that you kind of have to learn in your 20s. Like,
it's a rite of passage.
Yeah, it is. It's because I consider myself a responsible person, but like, oh, my, I had to get gas at the gas station. Oh, my dog had to be walked. Oh, all of that may be true. Factor it in or make account for it or whatever it is. The point is you have to be here at this time. Whatever comes before comes before.
Well, I'll tell you, when it's the boss man and you're looking for a job, my feeling is I will get there 15 minutes early and get a cup of postum and just be waiting when that person walks through the door. It's not even trying to really just time it perfectly. It's like, screw it. I'm going to, if Waze says 47 minutes, I'm going to call it an hour.
Yeah,
and I'll just leave. I'll just leave it too.
Now, did you give him the attention?
It was a her.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Yes.
That is interesting, actually.
Yes.
Did you give her the...
Hire her on the spot.
Did you give her sort of the attention that you would have had that not happened, or were you a little bit one foot out the door?
No.
Mentally.
We had a nice talk, but it's noted. Yeah. It's noted. It's always noted. That's what the boss does. They note stuff, which is if you're late to meet me... Then how often are you going to be late when I'm not around?
How does that bode?
Yes. Anyway, New Year's, Rezzo. So here's one that you think you would think would be a little esoteric and maybe something that didn't make sense. But I'll put it out there and then we'll see if we can drill down on it a little. Goals. To have goals and go after them. Now, that sounds very generic. And then you think, well, Adam, that's what you do anyway. So what about it? But I don't. I've never really been that way. I've made proclamations like none of this and some of that, or I'm going to go do this. But they're not goals in the sense that in a way. So I'm efficient person, I'm a successful person, and I do a lot of things. But that doesn't mean I have goals. It just means I swim forward. And people said to me in the past, like, what's the plan? And the plan is, I don't know what the plan is. We're moving forward. That's what we're doing. But this year, this last year, I had a couple specific things come up where, and again, if you want me to achieve a goal, it's oftentimes has to be outsourced. So you take the Comedy Central Rose. Hadn't done one in 15 years.
That couldn't be a goal of yours because it's in someone else's hands.
But somebody, Mike August, of course, said, go get on that roast. And I said, nah, I don't want to bother.
Yeah.
I don't
want
to hassle the people, you know, which is, that's my default setting. Let's not hassle the person. Now you can go, well, your goal is to go race a race car at Laguna Seca. And I go, yeah, I know that, but this is different. This is me going, I would like to do that, but I don't want to hassle this person. Why would they want me or whatever it is? And so Mike kind of persisted, like, just hit Baldwin. Just hit up Baldwin, and then Baldwin will get you on the dais. And I was like, what am I doing up there? What do I deserve to be up there? Wouldn't they have contacted me if they wanted me up there? But I just went like, all right, fuck it. I'm hitting up Baldwin. And next thing you know, I was up on the dais, and we had a great night. So I thought, well, that's a different mode for me. I would normally hope it goes away, and I did, but Mike kept coming back. Like, when's that roast?
That's
that roast?
What happened with Larry David.
Right, and Larry David, who theoretically I'm going to have a nice interview with in a week or so.
Oh, we are?
Yeah. Well, the reason I said me is because I told him I'd just come to his office and sit down with him.
But, I'll be 15 minutes early.
We'll be working on that. And yes, it's because Mike said, follow it up. He's a fan of yours. He liked your stuff. Call him up. Here's his number. Give him a call. And I'm like, I don't know what to bother. I'm going to call the guy. Call the guy cold. And wait. I also had a thought last year as well, which is I wanted to plug my stand-up special on the Howard Stern Show. And so I got hold of Gary, his producer, and I said...
Hi, Gary.
I said, I'd like to come on the show, like the special comes out at the beginning of March or something. And he went, oh, well, we're kind of booked all the way through March into May. And I was like, okay, just keep going until a date, a slot opens up. And I think it was May 20th. And I said, okay, well, then we got back to each other back and forth a little bit. But I just said, all right, we'll have that slot. And I'll make my New York travel plans and we'll figure this out. Versus the old version would have been, we're booked up in March. Like, all right,
let's say hi to the kids.
Yeah. And I would just hung up the phone. This time I went, well, and listen, maybe he wasn't booked up in March. Maybe he just didn't want me to come on the show. I doubt it, but that could have been it. But I still said to him, okay, well, then forget about March. Let's just keep going into May. Eventually, there's going to be an opening. And it's a little persistent. I don't have that normally. It's a little pushy. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. I can be pushy, not with myself.
Right.
And I thought, okay, this year, think about those things you want to do. They don't all have to be professional grade. It should be events or whatever. And go, let's go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's I started coming up with a list of like. And it's not fully complete, so I'm not going to get into all of it. But I was like, come up with a list of people you'd like to interview, and like a Larry David, or I just had this thought the other day. I thought Fred Norris from the Howard Stern Show. I mean, yeah. Think about that guy.
He's seen it all.
I've never really heard an in-depth interview with that guy where we're friendly.
He's a smart dude.
Well,
when he chimes in, you know,
smart,
he's sharp.
And in a way, like when they say Conway Twitty has sold more albums than the Beatles, you can go sort of like who's been responsible for the most laughs, and you can think of your stand up comedians or the guys you think that are funny or working or Jerry Seinfeld, but Jerry Seinfeld's not on the air every day for 4.5 That's hours, right?
Yep.
With that audience doing it every day. If you really did a sort of Fred from Howard Stern show, if you did a sort of laughs, and then you take that over 40 years or 35 years or whatever it is, and, you know, you'd go, well, Richard Pryor, the Mel Brooks, or, you know, people be throwing out.
Sure, the legends of comedy.
Throwing out names of Albert Brooks or whatever. But
with the big specials.
But who has the 40-year everyday thing? So you pop in a few times an hour, but it starts to
you
add.
Accumulate.
So I thought, I've never heard a real interview with that guy. And, I'm going to put him on my list.
Great
so I'm
idea.
Just going to put a big list together and figure it out and be more goal oriented as I'm thinking about it or giving myself permission. So when Mike August goes, why don't you get on the roast? I don't go, oh, no. Why would they? My default setting would be they don't want me to be on that roast and I don't want to hassle them. I don't want to hassle. Now, Baldwin loves me, and he loved me being out there. I don't know why I look at that as I don't want to hassle Baldwin. Baldwin likes me, so why not?
It's not a hassle.
All right, so that was kind of that was that one in a along those lines, which is interesting, this is kind of part of that, and I'll have to figure it out, but I got a text from a guy in Canada who's a car guy who does some racing, and he said, hey, we go do some racing every once in a while in Europe. And I was like, okay. And he's like, we're going to Spa, which is in Belgium. It's a world-class track in Belgium. And he's like, we're going to Spa in Belgium. We'll be on a and do an endurance race on a professional team. You want to join the team and go to Spa in Belgium? And
up the Pina Coladas.
I was like, yeah, I thought Spa was in France, but it's in Belgium. But anyway.
Belgium's kind of like France.
Yeah, so we'll figure it out. All right, so you guys have New Year's rezos as well, right?
Indeed.
Yeah.
What do we got?
All right, I'll go. It's two-pronged. One much simpler than the other, I hope. So first of all, you know, this show is amazing and I've been lucky enough to be a part of it for coming on 5 years, which I cannot believe. But, it makes me feel sometimes a little too comfortable, maybe a little too lazy. And there are things that I want to be and need to be doing outside the show that really keep me fresh and on my toes and make me feel like I'm achieving my goals. I want to expand those professional horizons this year. I'm looking into doing a little more news anchoring this year. Mm. I, of course, have my podcast with Teresa, Easy Listening. That's really, it's profitable and we're having a great time. I want to take that to the next level. Also, I used to do a lot of voiceover animation and I miss it and I love it. Mm-hmm. And I really, really want to get, I think, less lazy with that, more aggressive with that. It is one of my happiest places being in that booth doing those voices. Really want to do that this year. And finally, and I think, Adam, you noticed this last night because I was tweeting about it. Really passionate about food, really amazed at how much people are loving the grain-free comfort food stuff that we started on this show for Eat Your Feelings, and want to make that more of a brand, want to take that to another level, want to start to monetize it, really be kind of make my little footprint in that food blogging world that I have come to love so much.
The time is right.
It is. And thanks to you guys, I have an Instagram. It's grain-free comfort food. So please follow it because it really does help monetize. And I'm really, really excited about that this year. So that's the professional stuff. The other one is get married.
Oh.
Yeah, get on that.
I know we got engaged over the summer. Was it June? Was it July? And
like forever.
I haven't talked about it publicly, but my dad got very sick and he's still sick and it takes up a lot of my time. And I haven't really wanted to think about events yet because I don't know how he will be involved. But life has to move on. And I'd like to get married this year.
Good.
Yeah. Let it turn to something else. Just let it turn.
Thank you.
Something else.
Okay? Listen to Swayze.
Those
are the big goals.
Good. And I think it does. I read a tweet over the break where somebody was rushed to the hospital and they're morbidly obese and they're given life support and whatever. And now they're down 150 pounds and it's all... You know, it's got to start with the diet. It just has to start sort of, it has to go from inside out. Like all the.
My dad's not morbidly obese.
Things you're, all the things, sorry, not that dad. All the things you're trying to do, you got to have a kind of a base. Or I don't know. I mean, I don't, you know, you have all the goals and everyone has all the goals and there's all they're doing. I feel like what you're putting into the tank to fuel this engine that has all these goals for the year, it just kind of has to start there.
Absolutely.
You got to want it.
And you have to want it, but you know, if you're looking at yourself as the vehicle that is going to try to obtain these goals.
And are you putting garbage fuel
you're
in it?
You're pumping bad fuel into it. It's like you have to put the good. Doesn't mean you can't have a fun fuel day or have a couple IPAs and watch a football game.
Run on
a Sunday.
Potato grease every once in a while.
Right, but in general. Brian, what's yours?
I got to follow that. Jesus Christ. Will not be as emotional, I promise you that. For the last half of last year, you guys know I did the stand-up comedy class. I did a lot of the open mic
you
nights.
You killed your resolution last year.
Thank you.
You did great.
Thank you. But as it pertains to that, the entire time I was doing the stand-up comedy class, I was doing open mics. I was doing writing, you know, workshops with the people in the class. I was doing... the open mics, like I said, I was working on the material, hosting the things that dudes brew. The whole time I'm doing that, I'm like, this is not for me. I enjoy doing stand-up. I'm glad I did it. It was a goal I would never have set for myself had it not been for Laughs at Bald Ryan. But it's not for me. It's not a vocation. I didn't feel comfortable doing it. I don't think I'm that particularly great at it. I think okay, but like not great. The whole time I was thinking, I really want to get back into improv. And my resolution for this year is to get back into improv, take improv classes, do drop-ins, because that is something that pertains to this job. Like stand-up didn't help me that much with, you know, this job, but like improv really helps. Mm-hmm. We do it a lot here, and it's just better to keep up and listen and just the whole thing. So that's my number one resolution.
Are we talking Sunday Company? What are we talking?
The problem is that, and by the way, maybe I'll enlist the listeners, because improv classes are so inconvenient. They're late at night or the middle of the day when we do this show. So if anyone out there knows of a good improv class in the LA area, maybe a jam, maybe a drop-in, I'm easy to get a hold of. Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Instagram.
I like that. Improv class is sort of akin to taking your 15-and-a-half-year-old to driving school before they get their driver's license. Let them spend a few days on the skid pad, learning how to do evasive stuff, learning how to control a car. Yeah. Even if they're not planning on being a race car driver, it's a great base to have.
Literally move through the world.
Yes, you have to go through dates and job interviews and conversations and cocktail parties, and having that skill set is going to help you the same way it help you that you're going to drive every day for the rest of your life. And if the shit goes down, you'll be comfortable making that maneuver. Yeah. And I feel that way about improv. But what I did learn from my buddy Ray vis-a-vis improv when I told him to take an improv class is that it's important that you have great chemistry when the lady comes to your apartment.
Okay. I got to look her up.
Yeah.
So my other two, do you have more to say about that?
I was going
to
laugh, which is everyone else's New Year's resolution for me would be when we start going down these weird roads of why didn't you sign up for an improv class? I did. The lady came to my house. Right. We didn't get along. Just scream, shut the fuck up and walk out of the room.
I don't want this.
Now I have to unpack this thing where what do you mean a lady came to your house and you didn't get along? Or is any of this true? I don't know how.
Just tell me you're not into it and we can move on.
Moving on. Sorry.
Speaking of moving on, so that's an easy one because I want to do it. The other one that's going to be hopefully easy because I want to do it is, you guys know I've been doing keto for a year, and I actually lost some weight. Coincidentally, I was doing it for brain tumor purposes, and I lost like 10 or 12 pounds.
Of tumor?
I wish. That's all that's left. My resolution is to go to the gym this year and get put on 5 pounds of muscle. That's going to be hard because I have the neuropathy from the left side weakness from my radiation and chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. But I think 5 pounds of muscle, which would be easy for a lot of people, is a doable goal for me. I think I can probably put that on.
I used to, when I was growing up, I thought people, New Year's resolution was always, quit smoking and stop drinking so much or stop something. I would like to have it. I think we could break society down. Mm-hmm. Into three groups. Okay. You have the no New Year's resolution. That's probably my immediate family. Just why
should we comfy?
Just there's no thoughts about doing anything differently. Then there is the quit something. And now the newer, I think, in the resolution department, but the people I'd like to hang with. The here's what my goal is. Here's what I want to do proactively.
Here's the next level.
Not stop this or do nothing. I think if you took those three groups.
Interesting.
I think if you took the New Year's resolution people, they would be less successful than the stop people.
Oh, absolutely.
And obviously, then if you took the I would like to put, you know, I remember Kevin Hanch went, I want to get down to 160 pounds, and then I want to bench 250. Like those guys.
Those guys.
Yeah. So those are super successful guys. Here's what I want to do. Okay. Then there's that whole other group. I had this this interesting realization, and going into the new year, I think everyone should think this way in the nothing department. But I had a conversation with my mom and my stepdad, and at some point my dad and whatever. And Phil, turns out Phil, my dog, had just left the mobile groomer. Now, I kind of put that up with the dog walker and the maids that clean your house when you have to move your feet so they can get the vacuum underneath. Yeah. Like, my feeling is if you're home, you clean your house. Mm-hmm. And if you got a hose and a kid and some suds, there's your dog. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
And someone willing to express anal glands.
Right. And so we had the mobile dog groomer, and Phil came back. And Phil was goddamn fluffy. Phil, that worked. And Phil was
degreased him.
They degreased him, and he was trotting around feeling good about himself. And he came over to my stepdad and my mom, and he was doing what he does. And they were loving on Phil because Phil's extra fluffy now, and Phil's Phil. And I said to my mom, "You like dogs?" And she went, "I love dogs." And then I said to my stepdad, "Do you like dogs?" And he went, "Yeah, I love dogs." And I said, "Okay, you guys have lived in a single-family residence in North Hollywood with a fenced backyard my entire life, and your entire life, and you've never owned a dog.
And yet you say you love them.
Don't you love them?" And my mom went, "Yeah, but they're a hassle. You have to feed them, and you have to clean up after them." And I was like, "That's true, but you love dogs." Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Yeah, but it's a hassle." And then I thought, okay, see, this is a very interesting insight, which I do like this thing and I want this thing, but I don't want to have to do anything for it. It's sort of like owning a 1966 Jaguar. Mm. It's like, it's cool, but it fouls plugs. Right. Like, okay, but you have to change them and then you can drive them. But so that outweighs.
Right.
But to be fair, she raised her kids the same way.
Yes. I said, does dad like dogs? Yeah, he likes dogs. I said, okay, he's never owned a dog. I don't know how many people who, now look, these aren't apartment dwellers. They live in these flat little plots with fenced off backyards.
Yeah.
I don't know how many human beings, and then I thought about my grandparents. I was like, did they like dogs? I said, yes, they like dogs. Everyone liked dogs. Everyone lived in a house with a fence. And over the span of you know, not we're not talking about 40 years. We're talking about like 65 years of living in the same place. No, not one of the three of you never owned a dog. Mm. And I thought, it's all for the same reasons, which is you all love dogs, but you hate work or responsibility or taking care of anything. Or, and again, it's like, yeah, you have to feed the dog twice a day with the kibble, and they got to send someone out there to clean up the shit, or you do it yourself, or the dog needs a walk or whatever. The mobile groomer comes by and it's $80. Or yes, there are things attached to that. And then I also realized, take that and extrapolate it to everything in life. Mm-hmm. Owning a business, it's a hassle.
I was going to say.
Owning it's a nice car.
It's a slippery slope to misery, because everything enjoyable, it has some hassle attached to it. Like, I love going to the movies. You got to park. You got to find your seat. You got to buy the ticket. You got to.
Right.
Yeah. There's little hassles involved in everything, but you got to enjoy it to outweigh the hassle.
Right. I it's something I knew always, but I never really broke it down that everybody separately loved dogs and nobody
had a dog.
And it was all, my mom was basically explaining why, which is that she's sort of saying, "I'm too lazy," but she's not saying it that way. She's going, you know, a cat, I don't enjoy a cat as much, but a cat will bury its own poop.
That's right.
All right. So Dr. Drew is here.
Yeah.
State of the Union. I was listening to Max Zapata and Geo putting together all the states of the union from days of yore. And I thought, God, it's such a weird world, this digital world where everything is captured. And I think I just listened to like the first three, maybe the first four from the first 4 years we did this. It's really interesting to look back and hear where you were and what your goals were and what your thoughts were and how everything was so new and wide open and sort of you're inventing things as you went along. As I said in many of the states of the union, it's all about you who are listening and you who are listening sharing this with somebody, because without that, nothing else exists. Whatever it is, whatever we endeavor to do, do a live show, sell some advertising,
do a cruise.
Sell a t-shirt, do a laughs for Bald Brian, minus the part where you guys listen and share. We don't, everything else is sort of
moot.
It's all for naught after that. So please listen and share. That's your end. We will do the best we can do on a daily basis. I am going to try, as I stated previously, to put together a hit list of people that I said, like, I want to interview The Rock. And I was like,
sure.
I don't know The Rock, but Chris Morgan's good friends with The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
And always tells me what a great guy
he would be.
He is. So I am going to start doing the kinds of things that I don't normally do, which is bother
reach out
this guy to go hit up that guy.
Make the call.
So I can promise you guys more of those. And again, I started thinking about just interesting voices. Mm-hmm. Again, we all know the celebrities, but when I was sitting with Chris at this diner, a guy walked up to me. He was probably 65, 68 years old. And he handed me his card, and he said he was LAPD undercover for like 40 years.
He's
like,
doing a terrible job of it. He'd been handed out cards.
He always hands cards.
Sorry, retired. Retired.
Okay. Makes more sense.
And he said, and so Chris, who makes all these kinds of deep cover-y movies and stuff, immediately started getting into it with him.
It's all about family.
And he was explaining that he had a long ponytail and a Fu Manchu, and he'd go to Miami,
deep
and he'd go
cover
to whatever, and he was all over the place. And he said, oh, the stories. Man, the stories I could tell you. And I was like, give me your card.
I'd like to hear the stories.
I want to hear these stories about working LAPD and narcotics and shipping off to Miami and New York and Fort Lauderdale and Dallas and doing deals and going in and that whole world. And I thought, I really want to know. You've seen so many shows. He was telling me that he basically had the record in LAPD for doing it the longest. I was like, I really like 40 years of doing it. And they move it through Telluride.
The whole story's right here, man.
Or we could just play this song. So I thought to myself, you know, the guy was handing me his card going, I got a million stories. And I was going, yeah. But then I started thinking about, no one would ever hear this guy's story.
Why not?
He told us one or two at the table, very fascinating. And I thought, I don't know. I've always kind of liked most everyone, I'm excluding my family, has an interesting story. When you really start talking to them about how, especially once they're over 50, mm-hmm. about how it started, mm-hmm. what happened, there's tragedy, there's whatever you didn't know about, there's this, that, and the other. And I thought, I want to try to find some more of these kinds of people. Now, I worked at the waste management sewage facility treatment center in Arleta for 41 years. Like, not that, but a little more guys that wouldn't be celebrities. Yeah. You wouldn't know who they were, and you'd never really hear their story and start getting into that. All right. Nice. So that shall be for the new year. And here we are. God, what are we? 6 weeks? 7 weeks away from 6 weeks away from 11 years?
Amazing.
Is that true, Maxipata? We're 7 weeks away from 11 years of doing this?
Yeah.
Is it the second?
Started 2009. So it would have been.
Ungoddamn believable. I think we started in February, February 20th or something. Something like
February
that.
February 20th was the last day of the radio show.
It was, and we started on
soon after
22nd, 23rd. So, Jesus, here we are, 6 weeks away from 11 years,
that's
longer than Loveline.
That's wild.
Of doing this job, and it's all because of you guys. So, thank you. And speaking of that, I'll be in Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater January 24th, and then off to Chicago Park West on January 25th. So come on down, man, and say hi. Oh, the I should invite you guys, Gina and Bald and Drew. Shelby American, the premiere is going to be, we're doing an official premiere. We're flying in Shelby family members and whatnot this Wednesday. And it's going to be at the Montalban. Is that what it's called?
Oh yeah, the Montalban in Hollywood
Theater in Los Angeles. Ooh, we'll do the red carpet and the meets and the greets and all that kind of stuff. And we'll have a VIP ticket and a regular ticket. And we'll try to get you all there. And just go to AdamCarolla.com and see a movie that people really love. And somebody tweeted me and said, I watched it with my six-year-old, and he hung in the whole time, and he loved it. And I was like, everybody get their kids around at the Montalban or on this Wednesday, January 8th, or get them around the TV at Netflix and tell them to watch this thing, because you got to understand this is what it takes. The thing about thing that I find most interesting about a guy like Carroll Shelby, and it's a blessing, although you think it's a curse, he wins Le Mans for Ford. He does all this stuff for Ford. And then at some point, they just go, hey, we're done with you. Like, they literally just went, hey, it's 1970, and we don't need you anymore. Everyone else would go, I'm suing your ass.
Exactly.
I'm suing your ass. In which case, you then spend your life, when you're suing their ass, you spend your life staring into a rearview mirror, because what you're trying to do is go back and extract money from something that already happened. Shelby was like, okay, well, I'm out of a gig.
I'll make some cars.
I'm gonna make some chili. I'm gonna make a chili cook-off. Like, we would never have all the other Shelby stuff if he just got locked up in litigation with Ford, and this thing was protracted and took a, it's over 13 years now. They've been going back and forth and back and forth. He just went, I'm going to start a chili. He started the concept of a chili cook-off. He's like, I got a whole bunch of land in Texas, and I love chili. Let's have a chili cook-off.
No hard feelings.
He did the first chili cook-off. Now, I'm not saying we wouldn't have them today, but the guy who won at Le Mans also invented the chili cook-off because he wasn't looking at Ford going, I'm going to sue your ass. Because that's what everyone does now. Everyone either gets dumped, divorced, fired, whatever it is, and instead of moving forward, they stop and turn around and go, you owe me more shit.
Right.
And at the end of the day, when you settle, you think you've won. You just wasted however many years on this lawsuit.
Your life.
You probably have to sign a non-compete or something like that. You know what I mean? So you're, maybe it's stifling even more.
It's not that the way I look at it, it's not that Shelby wasn't owed something from Ford after he had done what he'd done for that brand and that company. It's his mindset of, we're done. I got my last check Tuesday. Turn the page. Moving on. What's next? It compels you to move forward. Of course you have to move forward. Now everyone's in that mindset of stop, turn around,
give me mine,
go back and try to get some shit from this person, which then eats up, as Brian said, years of your life. Sometimes you get paid. Sometimes you don't. It does. I don't know. You have to decide. It's not always about if you could get paid or if you couldn't. It's about your life and the use of your time and how fast we're moving toward the grave.
And there's absolutely no way to know. But would that amount you got paid equal what you would have made, you know, in equity or just in pure profit or whatever?
Or quality of life.
You know,
there's no way to know, but think about it.
My feeling is there is, and this is a growing problem, obviously, there's a bunch of lawyers going, you could get money for that, and then people take the weak route. I don't think people are bad. I think they're weak. In Shelby's time, it didn't exist. Right. It's 1970. You got shit can.
Now what?
Turn the page and move forward. There was no lawyer coming over to him explaining he could get him paid.
Start making chili.
Between cars and bootstrap pulling and chili cook-off, is he the greatest American hero? Mm-hmm.
Well, he definitely screwed over a few people along the way.
So one of the greatest.
Let's ask them.
And may have had between 7 and 10 wives. No one really knows.
My question stands.
But
in a 5-year period.
Certainly the most amongst the most interesting lives led from abject poverty and a like rust belt or just Texas wasteland to the top of the heap, and then all the way through. We start factoring in heart transplants and liver transplants and getting a recipient, oldest living recipient of a heart transplant, the medical stuff, the fact that he's supposed to die at age by 50, mm-hmm. I was supposed to see his 50th birthday, and that he was creating cars when he was 85.
Awesome.
It's crazy. Badass. It's crazy. Yeah, so go out and we'll see you on this Wednesday. First, Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at home, period. Fear has no place, especially at home. Simply Safe's mission from day one was to protect you. Protect your home. Do it today. Free shipping at simplysafe.com. There's two I's in there. Simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. God bless Mike Lynch. We finished. I'm your emotional support animal, and it's up for pre-order.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
On Amazon at AdamCarolla.com. Oh, by the way, in the annals of asking for shit, that book where Mike just got a big fat payday and Mike got to open his business and his office and go private and do all that stuff, as he stated in a very nice thankful email to me at the end of the year. That book came about because I went to my book agents in New York and I said, it's been 5 years, I'm ready to write a book. And then about 2 weeks later, they wrote back and went, no one's interested in you writing another book. And I said, okay. And they were like, so that's that. And okay. I said, all right, nice job.
Pound of the pavement.
And then I was sitting here, as Mike pointed out in his email, and I was interviewing someone from Take a Knee, and they wrote a book, and they did blah, blah, blah. And I was like, who published your book? And it's like, she's sitting in the back. And I was like, okay. And when they were walking out the door, I said, you just did this guy's book? And I was like, yeah. I go, I got a book. And she goes, oh, good. And I go, good. Give me your email. I'm going to hit you up. And hit her up. And they advanced us the most we've ever been advanced on a book.
Nice.
Out of the 4 books. Because I followed the person out while they were walking out the thing. Now, they want to make a book and I want to make a book. But it's the new muscle of bugging people, or what I used to describe as bugging people, bugging her, bugging Alec Baldwin, bugging, God, what was the other example? Larry David or whomever, mm-hmm. which turns out not to be bugging them if you're having mutually providing something for each other. All right, Dr. Drew is out there. We'll talk to him right after this.
Adam Carolla's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our All-Woke, No-Joke Culture, is available for pre-sale now at AdamCarolla.com. Frank, funny, and utterly unapologetic, this is not a book for those who need a trigger warning, but is the book for everyone who wants to hit the snooze bar on the woke culture. I'm Your Emotional Support Animal by Adam Carolla. Pre-order it now at AdamCarolla.com.
All right, Dr. Drew and the Hizzy.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Dr. Drew and I had a nice walk and talk a day or so ago, and I said, hey, man, why don't you come in and say hi?
Well, yeah, and I appreciated that. On a couple of reasons. I checked my biorhythms. Here's my biorhythms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I
got mine. Good.
It's
them.
Not an extra critical day for you?
look at that peak. Those are good biorhythms, I believe. I mean, what the fuck is that?
That's my mom's biorhythm wheel.
Oh, it looks like an old birth control comic.
It does.
Here's, the days.
Here's all I would ask. Here's all I would ask. That's all. Drew, you tell me. Right. And everyone tell me if this is all you want out of life.
Okay.
I don't mind the part where the kooky person is consulting the biorhythm wheel in 1974.
Okay.
I don't mind the part where the same kooky person is explaining to you how a microwave oven will cook your brain. Mm. I don't mind the person that is explaining that just as many heterosexuals die of AIDS as homosexuals die of AIDS, and I don't mind the people discussing a third-hand smoke and how it's a first-hand killer. I don't mind any of that. once they're wrong, could they shut the fuck up about the next thing?
Can they be off the list?
We don't even want an apology for being so wrong.
Like, I'm going to say, hey, Mom, don't apologize for anything.
Shut up.
But you've been wrong about everything your entire life.
Yeah, yeah.
So could you please just stop with the next one?
Your ensuing silence will be apology enough.
Right.
However,
don't expose us to the next load of shit that's coming out of your mouth.
I got to say, as it pertains to that, you were talking about your mom and dogs, your dad and dogs, and you missed the one key piece of that story is they love children. Love children.
Oh, wow.
But God damn, were they a hassle. That cured them of everything.
Yeah.
Right.
And they found out they couldn't do the child rearing, so how am I going to take care of anything else? I love children.
Well, nothing exists in a bubble that does obviously sort of trickle down to everything.
I think the child thing is number one.
I was going to say, for a normal person, the child must be the ultimate example of brings the most joy, is the most hassle.
Right.
It's a huge hassle, but, you know, the good times are the best.
The it was interesting because I was watching Kevin Hart's Netflix sort of six-part special on just sort of his life. And I'm interested in any behind-the-scenes, whatever. And, of course, he's united with his dad, who he never knew, or who was in and out, who was the drug addict.
Oh, is the dad interested now?
Amazing.
Yeah, he's interested now that he's on an oxygen tank, that he wants to be part of life. And the thing I've always found very compelling about all these stories is the dad was there, dad was gone, dad had a new family, dad was a Rolling Stone, typical inner city Philadelphia, black stories,
rambled
guy.
He had to ramble.
He looked good. He liked to fuck other chicks. He has pictures of him leaning next to a car, you know, a GTO Pontiac with a new girlfriend.
And Chris's father.
There's other brothers laying around that you don't know and half brothers and all that stuff. At the end, when they get to the end of their life and they're being interviewed, now turns out one of the sons a multimillionaire. They always make this proclamation, which is, I know my son loves me. And I almost want to remove this word love because I feel like it's a crutch that softens the landing for everyone, which is, yes, he does love you. He has no respect for you, and you have no relationship with him, and you have no part in his life, and there's nothing else there, but you get to land on this soft, pillowy bed of love. Like, I know he loves me. He says he loves me. Yes, he does, but he also doesn't know you.
Yeah.
To his own detriment, he loves you.
He loves you like I love unicorns. I have no relationship with them. They don't play a part in my life.
In the natural world.
Drew, thoughts.
Many thoughts. I watched some of that documentary too, and he is such a good guy until he starts cheating again on his wife. What are you going to do? I mean, the guy's got it. He's got it. He's a ram, the dude too. What are you going to do?
Red blooded American.
I love her so much. I love her so much. That whole word, you're absolutely correct, has been corrupted.
It's been corrupted. It's
not a word that has real meaning anymore because love used to have three components, and one of them was commitment, there was respect, there was mutuality. The commitment and the respect to mutuality is barely there, right? I mean, how can you respect somebody and treat them like shit like that?
Well, who's treating whom like shit?
Well, he's cheating on his wife, who he loves
so much.
Well,
hold on. Let me defend the man.
Whoa! Let's not hear why.
Again, we can just put a different emphasis on some different syllables where you go, he's cheating on her, and she was 8 months pregnant, and I go, he was cheating on her. She was 8 months pregnant. Like, what was I supposed to do?
Man,
I changed my inflection a little bit, and we have a totally different crime here. I'm saying, when is the best time to cheat on somebody?
Not now. When
they're most vulnerable.
Well, when they do that, when they do that move where they go, he cheated on her on their honeymoon. I go, oh yeah, that's a bad dude, right? But the 8 months pregnant, you're on the road. Is a little
wiggle room,
dude. Well,
We go from look. If you're going to take this thing,
11 years of doing this has corrupted you.
No. What I'm saying is if you're going to take this thing known as cheating, as a guy, it's pretty much a biological event versus a emotional event. There's a biological event. So there's kind of two components, or there's a few components. One
is, write this down. You're getting
married. Thank you, yeah.
One is, there's a difference between going on the internet and trying to hustle up some local skank and being 3,000 miles from your house and have somebody throw themselves at you. Everybody judges. We don't know. This is
was that an approving?
No, well, this is a,
it's passive versus aggressive.
This is a difference between picking someone's pocket and finding a wallet on the ground.
Yeah, but a wise man once said, even if your car's unlocked and your window's open, does that give you permission to steal somebody's car?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm saying
what if the car's like, please steal me. I'll do anything if you steal me.
Many more. Yeah, but what if the car shows up at your hotel room banging on the door?
I'm a huge fan. I listen every day.
Yeah. Please so break in. There is a very great distinction between, oh, look, I'll put it to you this way. I don't know, what percentage of married men cheat? Well, I'll just say, for the sake of whatever, I'll say 10%.
Oh, okay.
I'll say 10%
probably
cheat.
Higher, but okay.
I'll just say 20%.
Okay.
What do you want to do?
Yeah, fine.
20% of married men cheat.
Yep.
Okay. What would that
now, okay?
I'm trying to clear my sinuses, actually. What would that go to if those same married men traveled, were on the road, staying at hotels, and beautiful women came at them in lobbies?
Think, right.
What would that – would it go to 50?
Oh, yeah. We'd break into different camps. They'd splinter, right?
But we would go from 20% to 65%, maybe 70%?
Not quite that high, but 50, 60, I agree.
Be a large jump.
That's a Chris Rock joke. A man is only as faithful as his options. Nobody's trying to blow the most of the population.
So you're going up. You're now putting him in this category where he's not a truck driver. He's a celebrity, and there's beautiful women tossing themselves at him. And then as far as the pregnancy thing goes, if you're just going to make it a biological thing, she's out of service for a little while. Not when you're as passionate as Dr. Drew, but for most folks, when you're 8 months and plus, you're out of commission. So
not really. Adam, come on now.
The old vending machine is empty.
It's just changed.
All right, I'm just saying.
Oh my God.
The one thing is possibly out of commission. Mm. Now you mix that with the on the road and throwing, and I don't see what I'm saying is I'm not adding a VIG for pregnant. I'm subtracting. I don't go, and she was pregnant. Right. The thing is, it's like, she was pregnant.
Fair enough.
But the dad sitting around.
Well, she was pregnant.
Explaining that he knows his boys love him, even though he never raised his boys. It's a nice sort of, it's like, you fell out of a 10-story building, you hit this awning, and it slowed you down just enough before you died. You know what I mean? It's a nice little cushion at the end of your life. And there's always this part that is – there's two parts to it I'm always very interested in, which is it's said with some conviction, and these guys are narcissists. Well, like, these are high
– No, yeah. Remember the drivers we used to see in Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Every driver we had when we went to Florida was some – 35, 40-year-old dude with a family in Michigan.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, I love my kids. I'm always in contact with them. I send them gifts on their birthday and Christmas, and it's great.
Yeah, I love my kids. I love my kids. Yeah,
I love them when they were six, but I love them.
I haven't talked to them in 3 years. But they got my gifts. They got my gifts on their birthdays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I found that interesting. I also like the part where he's going to host the Oscars, and then they unpack the tweets. But to be fair to GLAAD, this would help Kevin Hart a little bit, his case a little bit. You saying if I came home and I saw my son playing with a doll, I'd bash the dollhouse over his head. It'd be nice if it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Great punchline.
The reason it's playing is nothing but sort of anti-gay whatever, because it didn't really have much nuance to it, you know?
So if you want to know what Adam and I talk about during these multi-hour walks, this is it.
Now,
this is it. Kevin Hart in dollhouses.
If he would have gone on stage and said, I know my son's going to be gay, I just hope he's a top, that's funny.
That's me. That's the ace man. That's nuance. Yeah, I did a whole bit about my son being gay, but I was like, but by the time he gets to high school, we live in L.A. If he's not gay, he's going to get bullied. You know, it's like, what? This sounds very convenient, but I mean, the premise of your son is gay or could be gay, that's fine. Now, what do we do with it?
How do we make it funny?
How do we make it funny? And also, how do we make people go, yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in Los Angeles. He's going to be in, it's going to be 2025 or 2023. He's going to be in a junior in high school. Right. Yeah, no, you could get some cred for being gay, at least here and now. Mm-hmm. And I do, yes, I would hope that he was a top. Yes, thank you. All right.
It's fair.
So, Drew, homeless in Congress.
So, a lot of things going on. First of all, before I get to all that, I want to say, again, thank you. Happy New Year. Good to see you guys. Yeah. I'm so glad to be a part of this show. And as you were talking about Shelby and the extraordinary human that he is, I just started thinking to myself, and you know, if people listen to Adam and Drew, I was taken with this documentary. I really loved it. And I think he's going to be like my guiding light for a little while.
Oh, wow.
Because for the reason that you just articulated, Adam, which is I lost my daytime radio show, didn't think much of it other than let's create something else.
So you sued the station.
I look back. I sued everybody. I got angry. Won't talk to my former co-host. I'm pissed. No, I just thought, okay, it was a good run. It was great. Awesome. Learned a lot. And I got to create something else now. And it's scary and weird for me because this is the first – I just gained 6 hours a day. It used to take me an hour to get there, an hour of prep, 3 hours of radio, an hour to wherever else I went next. So 6 hours just was handed back to me. And I haven't had that kind of daytime time since about 1978.
It's
and
a gift.
Oh, no. And I kid you not. Yeah. And it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to – to be able to have mm-hmm. lunch is weird. Mm-hmm. To be able to have come visit you guys during the day mm-hmm. and have meetings and just do stuff mm-hmm. during the day is very – in fact, my wife and I started doing a streaming thing just every morning at 10 o'clock. We're just doing a streaming platform show for 15 minutes just where I talk.
I
don't know what that's going to be, but I do it. It's at drdrew.com.
No, it is interesting. I didn't go anywhere over the break. I just hung out for – 2 weeks, and I was like, oh, this is why everyone wants to do this. They get up, they get in their bathrobe, they check some emails and putter around the internet a little, and then at some point they leave the house when
or not
they yeah. want if, to yeah. if they want to
want, when they want to yeah. leave the house.
Delightful.
I was like, oh, I get why everyone does this, especially when they're underwritten. I get it.
And it adds up fast. Yeah. All of a sudden, one day is 7, 14.
You literally don't know what day of the week it is.
Literally.
No, I had that experience today. Yeah.
It's just, very weird you don't, for me.
Yeah, and it also makes you realize that devil makes work for idle hands thing is about
yeah.
the truest thing I've ever heard in
yep.
my life.
Yep.
Which is, and I used to, the other truism I used to quote was, a new broom sweeps clean, mm-hmm. which is, you know, folks' first day on the job. I've now realized every new employee's went, fuck that. Like, it used to be,
take
there used
broom,
to be some sort
it.
Of thing where, yeah, it used to be like, I'm going to, well, it's my first day or my first week or my first whatever on the job. I'm going to work yeah. triple time, sort of like you do on the first date, the second date, or whatever it is. I've realized that's gone the way of the dodo.
Oh, yeah. You know what they call that now? Onboarding. You guys heard this? Onboarding?
No.
This is corporate speak. Christy talks about onboarding a lot. You get someone new on the team, it's going to take a week or 2 weeks or a month of onboarding. You know what I mean? Get them their badge. Get them their whatever. Get them set up at the desk. Get them their password. It's onboarding. It's going to take
a
while.
But at least
about,
they want to be there.
I'm talking about yeah. them.
Enthusiasm. Yeah.
Oh,
work.
But they're complicit. It's like they're not busting their ass to do more work. They got a week of onboarding.
I don't think Brian knows what you're talking about, man. I don't think there's an interesting thing going on here.
Well, he's going back to improv class.
It's been a while.
Well, no, I like the concept of onboarding, but this is a little different in that I'm saying my nephew showed right. up and he wasn't down from the day, right, day right. one.
He couldn't find the broom.
He wasn't a new broom. He couldn't do the sidewalk. Yeah.
Yes.
What I'm saying is if your nephew was in the corporate world, he'd be on board with the onboarding. You know what I'm saying?
That's
a week of like, oh, let's get settled here.
But let me get back to you and the 11 years and Shelby and everything else. In a way, Shelby is a metaphor for your creation here. And as somebody who's now trying to create something new with nothing, what you've done here really sort of has a bigger sort of meaning looking at it from the perspective I'm having right now, which is, you know, how do you create something from nothing? Well, this was what this was. I'm looking at the studios yeah. here and Anna Corolla Show and everything else and you guys, and here we are.
There were tools right where you were sitting.
Yeah, we were in the wood corral.
Nice. Yeah. But anyway, so, I mean, doesn't that have – can't you look back now and sort of feel good about that? I mean, you can't stop, just like Shelby. You got to just keep moving. I mean, I understand that sort of mindset.
Yeah, the go back and stop and
take it in.
I don't do, but in an ultimate sense, I do it the most.
Mm.
And I'm going to explain it, which is I don't physically stop and look back and take stock and wax nostalgic or even have sort of warm and fuzzies about, wow, look at all that you've done here. But in an ultimate way, I do eat every part of the buffalo because the experience rolls right into the next venture. So I may not be stopping and looking back on it. I'm more using it.
Right.
So
it's
I don't know
what
you'd call that building. Building.
Yeah.
What, building off it, yeah.
The whole reason I know we can do whatever we want to do is based on that. And it's not stopping and looking at what you've done. It's more the experience you got all through the process of what you've done, and now you're just rolling into the next endeavor.
So speaking of next endeavor, I started looking around. What the hell am I going to do? And I people have been trying to get me run for an office. They went run for mayor, they went for governor.
Yes,
and,
all that. Yes.
And then I was like looking at it, and I was like, God, I wish the Congress would do their job and help. We are dying here in California. And then I went, oh, my God, I live in Adam Schiff's territory, and I have for many years. I don't even know it. Mm. Maybe I should go after his office. That'd be interesting. So I started floating those balloons around.
Do it.
I don't know. I don't know that I want to do it. You know what I mean? It would change my life dramatically.
Yeah.
But this would be the kind of the time to do it,
I suppose.
You're
the hero we need, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
that's the response you want.
I'd campaign for you.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. So as a feature of that, I've gotten a little more active in trying to help the homeless thing, which to me as a clinician is just – it's just unbelievable.
Serious question, Drew. Yeah. You and Adam especially, but you also complain so much about L.A. and the state of L.A.
Yes.
and our area and
yes.
California, blah, blah. Wouldn't you – I think it's a great idea if you were to like dip your toe into government. Why not local government? Like you could make a lot more change like you know, here
because,
in L.A.
Because,
Southern California.
Yeah, good question. Because
as
I live
opposed to living in D.C. half the time.
I live in Pasadena. And that administration is pretty solid. Mm. They're actually doing a pretty good job. Now, I had to kind of set them straight on their rhetoric a little bit. They're like, we are housing all of our homeless people. They're not mentally ill. We give them wraparound services. I go, oh, God, that's what we do in a psychiatric hospital is wraparound services. That defines a psychiatric patient. So stop with they're not mentally ill. If they need wraparound services, they need them because there's mental illness. Stop it already.
Fine. I knew one guy who needed wraparound services, and this guy was a genius. And he was an accountant.
Good.
And he was a family man. But he still needed wraparound services.
That's right.
So sometimes, Drew, people need wraparound services. This guy, he worked at H&R Block during tax season and Alamo Rent-A-Car at the Burbank Airport. So he was always punctual.
Yeah.
He was drug-free. He was lucid. And he was a devout Christian and family man who happened to need wraparound services.
Right.
So not all – I did know this guy.
Good.
Okay.
Yep.
He takes umbrage.
And again, there's usually a follow on with
you
that.
Need wraparound services.
Listen, hold on, Adam.
Obviously, something's wrong with
Adam,
you.
But here's the follow on. We asked him if he had mental illness. He said no.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. What? That means nothing. That's a zero. That means.
The last person who would know is him.
Exactly. That's a feature of mental illness. And that's what I talked about when I went to the White House.
He took his Napoleon hat off and put it under his right hand.
I went to the White House and I talked about somebody called anosognosia. Can I show you that little clip?
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you guys we got a Corolla newsletter now, and you can sign up at adamcorolla.com, and we'll put some video content in there, some bonus content in there for you. And then we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll play Drew at the White House right after this.